from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sports Station. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't gotta do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. I ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not gonna get no interview. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you better run. Yeah, I think it's
happy Monday and happy July. Yes, indeed. July 1. We have made it to July. Jeffrey's back from his various travels. I want to talk to him about those in a minute. But let's start with this, Jeffrey. What are you looking forward to in the sports calendar in the month of July?
I've actually enjoyed the European Championships, the soccer stuff. Mm-hmm. That's been a pretty good watch. I mean, we still won't have Olympics yet.
Yes, we do.
Oh, yes, I thought we didn't start.
Well, look at the opening day. I think it's the 26th.
Okay, so I suppose we still.
I think that's true. Google this right now. Opening day, the Olympics, opening ceremony. I think we are now already, shockingly, in the month of the Olympics.
You are right, correct. Friday, July 26th.
There you go. So we got opening ceremony. I did the women's gymnastics team. Was picked yesterday. Can you name anybody besides one?
Simone.
Yeah, that's the one.
I can name Simone.
I can name Simone. Simone Biles. Yeah, 27. She's Simone Biles at 27 is the won the all around this weekend. Is the oldest American to be competing in the Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about running backs in dog years. Gymnasts. Right. I mean, 24.
Since 1952. Also have a 16-year-old. But at some point, we'll be able to name a lot of them.
I mean, I think a big part of it, I assume Edie's playing Summer League.
Summer League starts literally a week from today.
So
League starts from a week today. We know that
Gigi's obviously going to be in Summer League.
We know that Zach Edie is, he announced yesterday, not going to be participating with Team Canada in the Olympics because he wants to commit himself to being the best version NBA center he can be. And so he will be in Summer League with the Grizzlies. You know what we have in 2 weeks from today?
2 weeks from today.
Well,
no, we started Wimbledon today.
Wimbledon, it's cranked up.
The Open will not be then. 2 weeks from today, the All-Star Game?
SEC Media Days.
There we go. This is, of course, the unofficial kickoff of college
Media
football.
Days. We're going to have NFL teams. Now, we don't have an NFL game. That's August 1, I think, is the
Hall of Fame game.
Is August 1. But it almost feels like we're starting to turn the corner. We're wrapping up with the NBA and everything else, and we're starting to turn the corner, looking forward. And, you know, the Olympics always, Summer Olympics come at a good time. Give us something to talk about, think about, and they'll take us all the way up through football season.
Correct. You can smell football season.
Yeah. 2 weeks until SEC Media Days. Today on the show, let's see, what do we got? We got Dan Devine in the next segment. That's great timing because we have free agency to talk about. And then we got Chris Harrington, who's back in town. He was in studio much of last week. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. That is the lineup for today. Jeffrey, we missed you. You are back from Las Vegas. I'm just going to guess it was, you know, 97, 90. It was blazing hot today, by the way. Beautiful day in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes.
It's going to be like, it's nice out there now. It's temperate even. And you're looking at 86, 87 as a high. A little bit of a break in the blast furnace that we have been enduring. It's been just comically hot. I can only imagine that Las Vegas was hotter.
So what was fascinating about...
And were there a bunch of hockey players walking around?
There were. We were staying in the Venetian, and the Venetian was connected to the Sphere. So
like, NHL draft was Friday night and Saturday.
So one of my buddies was in an elevator, and he said you could just tell right away, you're like, this guy's a hockey player. He had his suit on and the hair, and he said his dad just like slaps him on the shoulders like, this is one of the greatest days of our entire family's life.
And it's
like, so like that was a cool moment. I think I saw the Buffalo Sabres first round pick.
Konstantelius?
I believe I saw him in the flesh. I was trying to check it out. I was like, I think that's it.
How would you have known him? He's very blonde.
Well, that was a
he's very
giveaway.
Blonde, kind of stubby. He's just slightly under 6 feet, whatever.
What really took me away is the hockey guys that were drafted were not that big.
Uh-huh.
There are at least the guys that I saw. Like,
right.
You know, like,
no, they're not much. So they're 18 years
correct.
Old. So they haven't filled out, you know.
Well, and then a lot of them are going to still go play college hockey somewhere.
Are, like, yeah, they're hockey, the hockey draft, they're drafted, and then they go to college,
correct.
Or they go back to Europe, or they go, except for maybe one or two or three players go directly to the NHL, but not many.
So that was thrilling. There was definitely a buzz there.
Did you know you were going out?
No, I almost texted you. So I've never been to the Sphere, but it does seem like it's kind of one of those bucket list items.
And
I was thinking, I was like, what if my first time ever was at the
draft?
But we played golf on Friday, and so by the time like you could have actually gone, you would have ruined everybody else's thing. And
so how hot was it?
So on the strip where there's all the concrete, the everything, it was blazingly hot. Like it felt like I was like, oh, this is home. Like, this is...
Home, but not hotter than home.
No, not hotter than home, but as hot as home. But when we went to go play golf, which was no more than, like, 3 miles away from where we were staying, and you get off, like, you get away from, like, all the concrete, the strip, everything, it was not that bad at all. But it's very much, like, on the strip where you have all the concrete, all the asphalt, everything.
Right.
It was blazingly hot.
Well, it's good to have you back. Again, we got Dan Devine today. We got Chris Harrington today. Because you were away, you were not here to comment on the Grizzlies' draft selections. Now, we had firmly been of the camp that we were totally fine with Zach Edey and totally fine with Zach Edey at 9, in fact. This idea that, oh, you got to get him at 15 if you're going to get him seemed preposterous to us. We were early adopters of the we're fine with Zach Edey. There was a lot of hate on social media immediately after the pick. But when we did and we were able to do this somehow, not in your absence, we were not able to pull off Righter Than Right trivia. Without Right, how can you do that?
Sure.
We didn't do Righter Than Right trivia, but we were able to put together a Jeff Calkins Show poll. And in the choices were love the pick, hate the pick, or wait and see. Of course, wait and see wins.
Yep.
But not by that much over love it and hate it got practically zippo, like 4%, 6% when I was looking at that. So people have come around. Your thoughts on the Grizzlies draft?
To me, I actually I kind of started to sense this as the week went on, that it felt like locally, you're never going to have like 100% buy-in, but it felt like locally people were starting to be like, okay, I get it.
100%, yeah.
And towards the end of the week, I figured most of the criticism and the flaying of the pick would come nationally. And there was some, like Christine Peake at Yahoo.
Yeah, we played that.
But for the most part, I think everyone kind of got what they were doing.
Yeah. It's funny. We'll talk to Dan Devine. He retweeted her comments, and we played him on this show. That was a surprise. She was the most savage. I think she called the worst pick in the history of the draft.
Yeah,
or something
it
like
seemed
that,
like she was doing
it. Which was certainly hyperbolic, let's just say.
And she
that.
Was also doing the move of, like we've always talked about it. Draft grades are always just confirming your own opinions.
Right.
And so it's like, I've never had this low of a grade. It's like, well, it's you. Like, right. It's based on your ranking.
She almost got more exercise as she continued to talk, too. Like,
correct.
She got it worked up about
yes.
this thing. But, yeah, no, it was not necessarily wildly applauded nationally, except by some. And we'll talk to Dan about this later. Chris Harrington, of course. Players were introduced Friday. We had two introductions Friday. I'm going to talk about the other one here in a minute. Ed Scott, the new athletic director at the University of Memphis. But we had the introductory press conference. And those are, listen, as Chris pointed out in his column on the press conference, back when Hashim Thabeet was introduced, there were all kinds of cheery stories about how Hakeem means crusher of dreams or something like that. It was whatever. And so the introductory press conference is a fun event. Like, it's going to be a fun event. And it was a fun event. Zach Edey said, you don't get to be this big without eating basically everything in sight.
Smart.
So that was kind of fun. Cam Spencer was there in the end. I like the way Chris put it. He was dressed as the first Grizzlies player coach draft pick in history. He was wearing he was wearing the golf shirt.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies golf shirt.
Polo,
looked
yeah.
like he polo.
Coach's
he was
polo,
ready
yeah.
to go out there and be a player coach or an assistant coach for the team. Jalen Wells there as well. Interestingly, and I didn't know what to make of this, Zach Edey said that the Grizzlies had been interested in him all along, way back until his sophomore year. He said they were the only team that would have given me a deal after my sophomore year. But then he said, this year he never heard from them. That was the phrase. He worked out for them.
Mm-hmm.
So how did he never hear from them?
Well, I wonder if they were worried about...
But what? By definition, he heard from them if they worked out for them.
Well, I'm assuming...
You mean, like, leading... this? That meant leading up to the draft, he hadn't heard a lot of buzz, hadn't
right.
been talking about it, hadn't gone out, you know...
Probably didn't do as many of the, you know, the fact-finding missions, you know, the whatnot.
But kept it low-key. And do you think it's because they...
I think they targeted him.
They were targeting him and wanted to keep their interest low-key.
I actually... So I know, like, if you go back to Zach's comments from Thursday night late, when he didn't really get into the whole clinging thing, which was fine.
Yeah, but we took these comments apart. What he said was the night unfolded the way we wanted, or we got what we wanted, or
yeah.
whatever else. And if you define those, what they wanted broadly, which is we wanted to get our starting center out of this draft, we would have loved Donovan Clingan if we could have traded up, but we're also happy with Zach Edey, then they got what they wanted.
Correct.
But I don't think anyone is under the illusion that if Donovan Clingan and Zach Edey had both been there at 9, that they would have taken Zach Edey over Donovan Clingan.
Totally agree.
Right?
I think that was our position, too.
Right, 100%.
Because
yeah.
it started to get a little real at one point where you're like, okay, he's fallen past 5, here's 6. Then you got the Portland reports and whatnot, so you're thinking, are they actually going to pull it off? And then when they didn't, I kind of took it at face value that... I think part of the reason of not trying to probably go and let everyone know and broadcast it, hey, we want Edey, is so that someone else couldn't have jumped in front of
right.
you.
Grizzlies are notably discreet. So anyway, they got their guy or one of their guys, and so that was a happy day. Again, Zach Edey then subsequently announced that he would be playing in Summer League. That starts a week from today, the Utah Summer League, when they will be playing... Let's see. It's the Jazz the first day, then Philadelphia. David Jones, by the way, will be playing next Tuesday, and then OKC, and then they go to Las Vegas for that Summer League. So Summer League should be fun for Grizzlies fans. Again, that starts a week from today. And then we get the news from the official spokesperson of the Memphis Grizzlies, Adrian Wojnarowski, that the Grizzlies were declining the option on Luke Kennard. But what was interesting was you just have to look at the way these things are phrased. He says, both sides are eager. That was how it was phrased. Both sides are eager for him to remain in Memphis, for him to reach a new deal and remain in Memphis. If that's the way it works out, that's a win, right? You're keeping him, and you're keeping him for a cheaper price. Everybody's happy. Zach obviously wouldn't talk about Luke in any great detail, but continued to say at that press conference that they are a big believer in Luke Kennard and his gifts and the talents and the shooting, obviously, that he brings to the Grizzlies. And so I guess we expect they are now, you know, well below the tax. They're $8 million below the tax. They're something like that. They're 11.5, I think, below the first apron. But you're going to sign Luke Kennard. So to some sort of a deal. It appears that seems to be the plan. How do you feel about this plan?
Yeah, I mean, I think the fear is, it's like, I think the Grizzlies know the number that they'd like to get him at, and Luke is aware of that number. It's, can he get something better?
I guess the question is, yeah, if this is true, if both sides are eager, they could have done this before the weekend.
Correct. And so
and they haven't.
Correct. And to me, though, I think oftentimes what happens there is usually an agent believes that we can get more somewhere else.
Right.
So that will be the fundamental question.
We will see how that continues to play out. I do believe that with or without Luke Kennard, but let's just for present purposes, assume Luke Kennard.
Okay.
This is as good a Grizzlies roster as they have ever had.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, to me, the big caveat is, okay, I'm presuming that when Ja is fully cleared, he looks like Ja.
And that's, I mean, it was clearly that the predicate for all of this is that Jaren, Dez, and Ja
right. are all ready to
really,
go.
I'm not just ready to go, but are the best version of themselves.
Correct.
Right?
They're in their prime.
But that's the thing. One of the reasons that this should be the best Grizzlies team, could be the best Grizzlies team ever, is you're getting those three players in their prime. Now, part of getting into your prime is the fact that, well, I've been playing along all along. I've been getting bigger. I've been getting stronger. I've been improving. And that's not true of Ja. Ja's not been playing all
right.
along. He's been sitting out. He's been injured. He hasn't been able to work out. I think it's comforting knowing the Ja that we saw after the previous, you know, as soon as he comes back
sure.
against New Orleans, it wasn't like rusty Ja.
No, it was, oh yeah, this is way better.
It was electric Ja.
Yeah.
So I guess we're just assuming, but if you have something close to the best version of Ja, Jaren and Dez, then you have wings, like the ever elusive wings, all of a sudden now you got Marcus Smart and Vince Williams and Gigi Jackson and Luke Kennard. You've got really easily the best wings they've ever had, I think, probably. I mean, if you can go back to the James Posey, Mike Miller wings, right, whatever. But so they're better there. I don't think you can say that before we know what Zach Edey's going to look like.
Sure.
Zach Edey, Brandon Clark, whatever else. They're not as well situated at center as they were with the best version of Steven Adams, for example. I don't think you can say that. But they've got versatile bigs. They got Steven Adams. They got Brandon Clark.
I think
they
have the potential to have
Santi Aldama.
Better offensively.
I think this could very well be the best Grizzlies team that has ever existed.
Yeah, and I think it certainly could be the most talented roster.
The most talented, deepest roster
yeah.
that has ever existed. And the truth of the matter is, even like, I mean, well, you know, once upon a time, they had great depth. They had DeAnthony Melton and Kyle Anderson, and we've sort of learned. Hopefully people appreciated them when they were here. Chris Harrington certainly did, right? Appreciated those guys. We learned when they left, you know, Tyus Jones, Kyle Anderson, DeAnthony Melton. Like, that was a hell of a group to be coming off the bench. Now you have But even like Jake LaRavia's buried, right?
Sure.
And he was certainly decent down the stretch. So who knows? Like, whatever.
Well, I mean, the other thing about having depth.
They're not counting on Jan Kanchar, except for he's just the guy, the 12th man, 13th, whatever.
To me, the other issues, like when you try to compare it to the previous, like the other example you just gave with De'Anthony Melton with Kyle, well, you didn't have three guys that were on this big of deals. And so it's that you were able to have some depth,
but
given
yes.
those constraints, like that's a big deal.
Hopefully, though, the version of Desmond, Jaren, and Ja that you're going to be getting is better than that version
totally agree.
Couple years ago when they fell short. And, of course, that version really fell short because of injury. Like, we don't really know what would have happened but for injury. So, anyway, all that was interesting from the Grizzlies front. Again, we'll talk about it more with Chris Harrington when he joins us straight up at 10 o'clock. In the meantime, if you look around the West, the good news is, Jeffrey, is we finally have some players moving east.
That is nice to see.
Paul George eschews the $3 million, basically, I think $3,150 or something offer from the Clippers. Clippers were, in the end, I think the Clippers, two things have happened here. One is the new punitive tax format.
Yes.
Doesn't want Steve Ballmer to be Steve Ballmer. You know, like, no, like, there will be repercussions if you just spend. And so what you have to do is take a hard look and say, is it worth it?
Correct.
Like, is it worth it to spend the way the Celtics are spending right
Boston
now?
Boston has a different set of circumstances.
And I think the Clippers, it's an honest self-assessment.
Yeah.
With Paul George last year, we were a totally mid-level Western Conference team. Why are we going to spend to this degree and suffer the penalties that are involved in being, you know, deep into the tax for a mediocre team?
Right. Honestly, and it hurts your ability to work out of it.
Totally. I mean, it is interesting. Some of the things, do you realize there's one, if you are in the second apron, I think it is, for 3 out of 5 years, no matter what happens the next year, your first-round pick is at the back of the first round.
Yes.
you could collapse like
Correct.
The Grizzlies did this year, and you're drafting at the end of the first round.
Correct.
Like, it's not
competitive
just the
disadvantages.
Money. There's competitive things built in to discourage you from doing this, and the Clippers have said, screw this, basically.
I mean, even the Warriors.
If Paul George wants to be back, Warriors too, if Paul George wants to be back, at this price, we'll take him. Otherwise, yeah, no, we'll sit this one out. And obviously, the Warriors, by all accounts, are losing Clay. Now, that may not be helpful because it appears that one of the leaders for Clay Thompson, if we're talking about the Eastern migration, Dallas. Dallas appears to be one of the leaders for the Warriors. Lakers, obviously, also interested, but I don't know that will necessarily help. It also did help that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope leaves Denver and goes to Orlando. Now, that one is interesting because that's a pure... That one, if I were a Nuggets fan, I would be outraged.
Because the number wasn't astronomical.
Well, no, because there are times you pay.
Yeah.
There are times you just say, you know what? This is the window. This is when we pay. And it doesn't matter if we're in the second apron. This is when we pay. We've got really arguably the best player in the world. And this is the moment when we are in a position to win a title and you just decide not to pay him because you don't want to be in the second apron. I was listening to Tim Bontemps this morning. He said he no longer considers Denver to be an elite contender. Now, that may be hyperbole. Christian Brown is going to presumably take KCP's place in the lineup, but they already suffered from depth issues. They already suffered from shooting, and here all of a sudden now you've done this to yourself. If the Grizzlies decided that they didn't, you know, that they had to make some hard financial decisions this offseason, and it cost them Luke Kennard.
Okay.
Would I be mad?
No, because we're
not
talking about
really.
I mean, what this? If in a playoff series, given what probably the seventh guy, eighth guy,
you're talking about, yeah, a guy who does give you something.
Yes.
He has a skill set. He has a particular skill set that is valuable on this team. But as we've talked about extensively, as a perimeter player on the Grizzlies, he's whatever, the sixth best player, perimeter player on the Grizzlies. And so if they decide to save some pennies for a team that, I mean, I'm very optimistic about this team. And not only that, I still think the window for winning championships, or certainly getting to the finals, like San Antonio is coming. I'm just telling you, San Antonio is coming, but not this year.
Phrasing?
They made it clear themselves when they traded out of their first round pick. They're not. For future picks, they're not ready to compete for championships yet. Oklahoma City hasn't proven it yet. Minnesota hasn't proven it yet. Denver is diminished. So I do think there is a legit chance for the Grizzlies to get to the NBA Finals this coming year.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
But not enough that I'm going to be furious at them if they don't...
Yeah, that's not the standard.
Canard.
I mean, I think, though, going back to the original point, though, with Denver is... Denver's problem was, yes, depth was an issue, but the biggest problem that they had was that Murray and Porter were just non-factors at times.
Yeah, but subtracting KCP from that does not help.
It doesn't.
And it was purely a cheapness move. And so I think you should be happy about that.
I agree.
If you are a Grizzlies fan. I don't think you should be happy about DeJounte Murray. There was... But DeJounte Murray goes to the Pelicans for two firsts, Larry Nance Jr., Dyson Daniels. And so a team that never had a point guard now actually has a point guard. And McCollum can play off the ball. You've got Zion. You got Trey Murphy. The question there is what's going to happen with Brandon Ingram. You don't have a center. You literally don't have a center. You got Misi, who you just drafted, who no one believes is ready to be a center. It's fascinating because they're clearly shopping Brandon Ingram. It doesn't appear there's anyone who wants him. Because wanting him means giving him a new deal, and no one wants to give him a new deal.
I think it's the financial.
Oh, no, no. If he'd come in for a mid-level or something,
but
whatever. No one wants to give him a new deal. And so... whether they will get value for him, I don't know. I just think, like, who can we demonstrably say? Connor was only willing last week, and he's very bullish on the Grizzlies. He was only willing to say that, and he actually asked, what's going to happen with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope? I said stipulate he's going to come back, and now he has not. Last week he was willing to say that Denver and Oklahoma City, he would rank them ahead of the Grizzlies heading into next year. I think that was it. Did not include Minnesota. I think you pretty much have to say, you know, I don't know.
Should we put Dallas?
I think you got. I mean, you have to. I mean, there's no question. If you're saying who will the world rank ahead of the Grizzlies next year, here's the teams that will be ahead of the Grizzlies next year in preseason rankings when they come out, preseason predictions, right? Denver clearly will, even diminished. Denver will. Oklahoma City will. Dallas will. Minnesota will.
I think that's likely.
Right?
Yep.
Those four will definitely be.
They'll have better odds, probably.
They will have better odds. They will be the consensus will put them ahead of the Grizzlies. After that?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's going to be teams that could be, like, slotted ahead.
I think the Grizzlies actually won't be next, but it's...
Well, I mean, I think there's a real question, like, what are the Clippers going to be?
What are the Clippers, Lakers, Warriors, Pelicans, Suns?
Yeah.
Suns will be ranked ahead of the Grizzlies, too, 100%. The Grizzlies will be picked to be a play-in team next year.
They will be
picked to be a play-in team next year.
Yeah,
in the general consensus.
Yes, and I would take the over, but yes, I think that's probably going to be where they're going to be slotted.
So, and in terms of what all this does, you know, what does it do for the Sixers? Well, no, it's obviously not a perfect team. They have depth issues, right? But You start with Embiid, Maxi, and Paul George. I think your three are as good as any three in the East. Now, you don't play with three. But and we don't know if Embiid's going to stay healthy.
Or Paul George.
Like, yeah, history suggests no. But if you have a fully healthy Embiid, George, and Maxi in the playoffs, like I heard people say, well, this doesn't make you better than Boston. Does if Jason Tatum bursts his Achilles. You know what I mean? Like, things happen. I'm not predicting that for Jason Tatum, but you're putting yourself in position to compete and then see what happens.
Well, and then what if it makes you good enough to be the second team and then Boston has something happen in the playoffs?
Right, exactly.
And then
you don't have to see him or they get injured or whatever else. Yeah, there's they keep Kelly Oubre. I think Jared McCain is going to be good and a contributor. Added Andre Drummond on a deal, Eric Gordon on a deal. So they're starting to fill in cheap depth. I don't know how you don't love it. I mean, if you got Embiid in this situation, you take your swing.
To me, it all goes back to the same question. It's like, is Embiid going to be good? If Embiid is healthy and good, they're fine. Yeah.
And then when it comes to Klay Thompson and the Warriors, it's so funny. The whole rest of the world is, I'm so sad to see it end. It's too bad, breaking up one of the best backcourts
really
that has ever been.
So it's terrible.
I just love it so much.
I like the signals that are being sent.
But I've always been petty and bitter towards that team. And Clay, sneakily, really objectionable.
Yeah, he became worse. After the knee, he started, like, lashing out. But before that, I kind of liked Clay.
All right. And then the other news, and then we'll talk again. We'll talk to Dan Devine coming up next, Chris Harrington after that. The other news that I did want to get to is Ed Scott. That press conference was Friday. He was introduced as the new athletic director at the University of Memphis. Didn't get your thoughts on that as well. In terms of just when you heard about the hire, it's awfully hard to know with an athletic director because it's hard to predict even with a football coach, but at least there we see their offense, we see their defense, we see their track record. What is Ed Scott's track record? Well, we don't really know. Like, we know his resume, but we don't know what he really did at those places or didn't do at those places or whatever. And so who can say? Did you have thoughts when you heard about the hire?
To me, the thing I was very curious about was, would this hire signal anything about the view of the Memphis athletic director job? And the things that I like about Ed Scott is, yes, he has the ACC Virginia connection, but he's also been working at places that it's tough to get money. And so,
right.
And to me, like, I value that.
It's fine.
To me, it was the hire that signaled, okay, this wasn't viewed demonstrably worse than it was the last time it came open.
Right. I have no idea how good I'll be.
Yes.
But his resume, if you just stack up the resume versus other candidates, it's a damn impressive resume.
Yes.
Because he's been at a place like Virginia, and he's been at Morgan State.
Yeah.
And he's been a sitting AD, which the other candidates, certainly other finalists, had not been. He's got a PhD, if you care about that. So on paper, totally get it. I'll say this. I went to that press conference having no idea what to expect. I had watched him on video do an interview with someone, so I had some sense. He was tremendous. Tremendous. Like, after he was done, everyone who was there was like, whoa. You know, you know how it is after the press conference is over. People are giving each other the little thumbs ups or whatever. Like, he was crazy good. Now, literally, I thought about this because I said on Twitter that it was the best press conference from a coach or AD that I've heard since I've been at Memphis. I came in 96. Like, Penny's was a celebratory event, but that was just because Penny was there. Mm-hmm. The other one, actually, who was great, Ryan.
Yeah.
And he has had a mixed record so far. Press conferences mean nothing. You know who else was great? Derek Dooley.
Yep.
Knocked it out of the park. Just tremendous.
Derek's press conferences were always good.
His introductory press conference at Tennessee was just crazy good. So take it with a grain of salt, but he was great. The back and forth, the little thing that he did with his daughter, where he said he was talking about dropping her, we drop her off to school, and I ask her five questions. The first question is, and there she is from the front row. She pipes up. He said, first question is what are we going to do today? And she pipes up. He says unprompted. We'll see. Well, we won't ever see. I'll believe it's unprompted. She pipes up, get 1% better. And then, who's the most important person? Mommy. Like, it was just so freaking cute. It was tremendous. But he just said, he had a way of firing people up for a program that, let's be honest, needs some firing up. We can talk all we want about this great football season that's coming and basketball. Tickets have been down.
Yeah. Well, they've got more expensive, and
tickets are down. And then they need to raise another $27 million or something like that for the football stadium. And so to have some enthusiasm, like whatever you thought of Laird or Tom Bowen, public speaking was not their strength.
Yeah,
you were not going to run through a brick wall. You might bang your head against a brick wall, but you were not going to run through a brick wall for either of them. And that's not at all how you felt about Ed Scott. He also just talked openly about this stuff in a way that was kind of like, what? What did he just say? He really just said all these things? So he was asked about conference realignment, right? And obviously, at first, he said the normal stuff. He said, what matters is what we do about us. I expect that we're going to have success and we're going to be at the top of the American Athletic Conference, because if we do that, it's going to answer the question I'm about to get in a few minutes. What conference are we going to go to? We have to take ourselves care of ourselves first and put ourselves in a position to be successful. Like, that's the standard answer. But then he sized up the Big 12 and the ACC.
Yep.
Talked openly about them. He said, I think the Big 12 is pretty firm with their membership right now. I'm coming from the AC, and there's some lawsuits pending the last time I heard about it. So I don't know what's going to happen there. Like, so he's literally basic. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I can tell you what my job is. It's to position us to be ready if something were to happen in those two conferences. I think we fit in well in both. I think we can competitive in our revenue sports right now in both, in football and men's basketball, for sure. He said Memphis would need to pick up in its non-revenue sports to be a better candidate for the league, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there he is, talking openly about membership in the ACC. That's a little surprising, right? Don't you think?
It's like, definitely a different approach, but I'm not sure it's the wrong approach.
Yeah, I think you know the answer. I'm coming from the ACC. I love to get in there and compete against my mentors. Okay. Then asked about, and this is literally the first thing I'd ever heard on this topic, from a Memphis, certainly from someone in Memphis, but honestly from anyone in the Group of Five. Because he talked about the House case, which we've talked about. The House case, the settlement in this case, which has not been approved yet. And so it has to be approved for it to take place. But we know the settlement involves allowing Power Five teams to pay up to roughly $22 million a year in direct payments to the student athletes. Okay. And from the moment this case has arisen, we've asked the question, well, what does that mean for the Group of Five? Are they going to do it? Are they not going to do it? Are they going to be allowed to do it? Does this apply to them? And I've heard nothing. I've heard nothing about it at all. But he says this, to be honest with you. Well, first of all, he said a couple things. He said he made it very clear that NIL is not going away, even with this payment. In other words, that's what's still going to differentiate the teams that want to spend a hell of a lot of money versus the teams that just want to spend the money.
Yep.
Right? So they're going to pay the $22 million as much as they can under this system, and then they're also going to have NIL money that they're going to, so their quarterback gets $1 million, right, in Alabama,
at
whatever,
least.
At least. So, thank you, at least. So he made that clear. But then he says this, to be honest with you, I need to see what our finances look like. This is about the direct payments. I know we're going to opt in. You can take that to the bank right now. With talking to President Hargrave, we're going to opt into revenue sharing. That's the direct payments. We have to for where we're trying to go. But does that mean we're going to have a $10 million war chest? Is it going to be $15 million? I don't know, man. Again, this is the first time I've heard anyone basically say, here he's coming out and saying the University of Memphis will pay players directly under revenue sharing, in addition to the NIL that FedEx has contributed it so generously to. They're going to raise money to pay players directly. I was kind of stunned that he just talked that openly about stuff, but very clearly it was something that he had talked with President Hargrave about.
Well, to me, the key is he's basically saying we're opting in to get where we want to go, because you and I had talked about it when we first saw the house thing and you and I were trying to sort through it. We're like, wait a minute, is this going to be like the admissions cost? Like, is this the initiation fee?
Right.
And to me, like, that's kind of an indication of we think that if we want to play...
If we're going to be serious. But it does think... What it indicates to me is that in the American Athletic Conference, even though you are not a Power 5 school, you will be allowed to opt in under the revenue sharing rules that under the House settlement. And so you can choose. And here's the point. There will be AAC schools, a lot of them, that do not.
Well, the other question
I have
is
you're not going to only... Already you spend more than almost any AAC school. Now you're going to have that much wider a gap with other AAC schools.
Well, the other question that I have is the league going to vote? And ever... Because we've seen at times where... Remember, there were a couple of times where Laird kind of signaled... I think it was the last time about expanding, and the schools voted not to expand. But you could kind of read between the lines.
Well,
where,
that's interesting. So you think...
I'm wondering if do they have to stay? Do they have to take a league vote and say the league's only doing
the league's going to allow this? Right.
Right.
Okay. If that's true, if they took a league vote and the league said no, we're not going to do these payments, then they wouldn't be allowed to opt in.
Correct.
Then the opting in. But maybe I'm jumping the gun. I took the fact that he said we're going to opt in to mean that he understands that individual schools will be allowed to opt in or not opt in. He may be jumping the gun there, but yes, he seems to be indicating a future with the AAC where schools will be allowed to decide if they're going to pay or not, and that if they are going to pay, Memphis is going to pay, which means, again, that Penny and Ryan have to dominate their damn leagues.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's going to even be a... We talk about the gap between the haves and the have-nots. The gap between Memphis and the other schools in the AAC is only going to continue to grow. All right. We're late to get to Dan Vine. We'll do that next. Then Chris Harrington. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on a Monday, first day of July, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
92.9 FM ESPN's Gabe Kuhn Show. Well, the only lineman on the radio, Gabe Kuhn. Weekdays from 4 p.m. till 7 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Well, I was hoping you'd come over and, you know, maybe put on some old gym shorts, you know, and throw on the jersey. And at least, you know, I think it'd be a hell of a show. You're just getting you live, huffing and puffing, seeing if you can do some of those super guests.
Even when I was in shape, Coach, you'll remember I couldn't do it. Even when I was in shape, first day of super gassers, when we had to run four super gassers, I'd get through one and then have to do my makeups after.
So I'm confused. You said when you were in shape, so when was that again?
Okay, to be fair. Okay, that's fair. Understood.
This is coming from a middle-aged fat guy sitting at his desk, so don't worry.
Hey, but you'd be out there running with us. You'd be out there running with us a couple of times.
Those are the good old days. I don't know if I could do it anymore. Yeah, smoke.
Get in the game and turn up 92.9, 680 AM. Smart speakers say play 92.9 ESPN or download the free Odyssey app.
Summer Hoops coverage in Memphis is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
92.9 FM ESPN is Memphis's sports station and the biggest name in the Mid-South, online and on the phone. Thanks to Odyssey. The Odyssey app at 92.9ESPN.com. Smart speakers simply say play 92.9 ESPN. Thanks so much for making us Memphis's sports place. We wanted to build something special where you could come and listen, enjoy, and have some fun. It's a legacy of sports in Memphis. On the Odyssey app, say to your smart speaker, play 92.9 FM ESPN.
Grilling out. It's as American as fireworks, as hot dogs and hamburgers, and as Kingsford Original Charcoal. Because enjoying that unmistakable aroma and sharing the authentic wood-fired flavor of Kingsford Original with great friends makes the 4th of July even more special than it already is. And that's pretty special. So here's to America, and here's to Kingsford Original Charcoal, America's grilling expert. Kingsford.com.
Space may be the final frontier, but it's also what a lot of us lack in our basement or garage. By switching to a Navien tankless water heater, not only will you have all the hot water you need whenever you need it, but you'll gain storage area as well. Maybe a place to display your space collectibles.
Highly logical.
Learn about Navien's series of high-efficiency tankless water heaters and how they don't just save space, but save dollars on your utility bills too. For more, go to tanklessmadesimple.com.
Grill out and chill out with Family Dollar. Enjoy smoking hot deals on cookout classics served with a side of sizzling summer savings. Great things come in twos, like Ballpark Hot Dog, two for $5, or Bush's Baked Beans, two for $4. And don't forget the condiments. Pick up everyone's favorites, like Sweet Baby Ray's Barbecue Sauce, now two for $3. Plus, save more than ever before with smart coupons and special summer deals with hot new offers dropping every week. Family Dollar, helping you do more.
Hey, it's Jeff Calkins. You know when people ask if you have a good dentist to recommend? Well, I have a great dentist. It's Mehdi Sadeghi at the Smile Center. I've been going to the Smile Center for years now. My three boys all go there too. Mehdi is skilled, he's cheerful, and has always found time when emergencies arise. I honestly couldn't imagine a better dentistry practice than the Smile Center. It's where I send all my friends. So if you're looking for a great dentist, go where my family goes. The Smile Center is conveniently located in Germantown, or you can check them out online at smilecentermemphis.com.
Women here in Memphis are wearing bigger, better quality diamonds and some amazing designer rings thanks to the arrival of Genesis Diamonds. Hey, it's Eric Hassel. Valentine and Genesis came on the scene here last year and shook up the jewelry world big time with rock-bottom prices on diamonds, a selection that's like 20 times ordinary stores, designer rings you can't find anywhere else, and guarantees and warranties that are the strongest in America. A relaxed, no-pressure, laid-back experience with no commission salespeople. Everybody here is loving what Genesis is doing. Whether you want a lab-grown diamond or a natural diamond, Genesis will easily beat anyone else's price. The owner is a former diamond wholesaler, and Genesis has cornered the market on the world's most acclaimed designer rings. They have all the top 10 designers in the bridal world, thousands of handcrafted rings made by the premier designers. For whatever special occasion you have coming up, don't go to the old-fashioned stores for the same old, same old. Discover the store that's raised the bar in quality, selection, and value. Prepare to be blown away. Genesis Diamonds on Poplar at Perkins Extended.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Dan Devine joins me now, writes about the NBA for Yahoo. Podcast is No Cap Room on Twitter at Your Man Devine. He has a piece up about Isaiah Hartenstein, who has signed with the Oklahoma City Thunder, 3 years, $87 million. Given that and given what has happened in Denver, Oklahoma City, your favorites in the West?
I mean, also the Alex Caruso ad,
and
right?
Too.
I mean, like, they're kind of hammering free agency right now. Yeah, I think we are seeing in real time, and you know the Clippers would certainly attest to this, and the Knicks can now attest to it with Isaiah Hartenstein leaving. This is the world of the new collective bargaining agreement. This is the world of the second apron, where it's not just a question of will your owner spend, it's a question of what does that spending buy you and what restrictions does that bring moving forward. And I think you're seeing some teams say, like, listen, we can't like get our draft pick frozen 7 years from now or lose the ability to aggregate salaries and trade or, you know, whatever, insert restriction here to keep Kentavious Caldwell-Pope or to, you know, like you're only limited to, you know, being able to use your early bird rights on Hartenstein so another team can come over the top. And the Thunder with the young talent they've got, the way they're set up in terms of their salary structure, this is their opportunity to spend big and to make those big, those big swing deals. And understanding, like, you might have to use some of the cash, a draft pick they've got, to get off money later or figure out how you can move in an environment where you have already extended Jalen Williams or already extended Chet Holmgren, because those guys haven't come up yet. They will come up, and then the Thunder will deal with the financial crunch just like these other teams are. But for now, they see an opportunity, and it'd be hard to say that they are not maximizing it. The way that they can throw defensive length and positional size and some playmaking across the board out there, that looks like one hell of a roster. And yeah, right now you'd have to say that looks like the team that was already the number one seed in the West looks like it just got better.
In terms of Denver, I understand why the Warriors and the Clippers might make the decision they made, given that they're not really championship contenders anyway. So why take on these additional, not just financial, but structural burdens going forward? For Denver, which is in literally the championship winning window now, the best player in the world, maybe, isn't it a little crazy that they let KCP go?
I mean, I think so. I think that the entire thought process and the construction of that team was, we have the best starting five in the world because these guys fit so perfectly around Jokic, and like, he obviously can maximize just about anybody, but they also maximize him. Are any concerns you had about perimeter defense and point of attack? All right, well, we've got Aaron Gordon and we got KCP, and that's who we throw out there. How do we best maximize Jokic as an offensive hub working from the top of the key or from the elbows? You got guys who can either spot up and space the floor around him or work with him off the dribble handoff, and KCP became incredible at that. So yeah, like, this is an identity they built. Now, they built it under a different financial structure, right? And they're like looking it down the road and saying, well, crap, Aaron Gordon's going to be extension eligible in September, and we got to figure out. I mean, I believe he's guaranteed something like 22 or 23 million next year, but then has a player option the year after that. So you got to decide, all right, if we pay KCP now, can we pay Aaron Gordon next year without running afoul of those penalties? And so, yeah, I think different ownership groups are going to make different decisions based on that. They clearly have said, Calvin Booth was indicating this as early as last year, when right after the title, they make some draft pick moves and they bring in three first-round picks, Julian Strother out of Gonzaga, Jalen Pickett, the point guard, and Hunter Tyson, and say, like, that's going to be kind of our bridge and we're going to develop these guys because we know that we're not going to be able to re-sign everybody. So then they go and they make the same kind of move this year, or they bring in Deron Holmes out of Dayton saying, we need like a stretch five that we can play behind Jokic and that we can develop there because we're going to be paying a ton of money to our top four guys and we're going to need to find contributors elsewhere. I think it is you can understand from an ownership, if ownership's saying, listen, we're not doing that, then the front office has to decide, has to make moves based on that. But yeah, I think if you are a Nuggets fan, I think you would be looking at that and saying, I don't like this ownership. I think you've made a bad choice because you only get one Nikola Jokic, and you know you're not going to get another one of those for 35, 40, 50 years, maybe ever. And when you got him, you got to throw everything at the wall to try to make it work.
So, how good are the Sixers with Paul George?
They're a heck of a lot. Hang on. I was about to start getting ahead of myself. I think the other thing is they got to fill out the rest of the roster, and they've started doing that, right? That started before they agreed with George. There was a report about Eric Gordon, which if Daryl Morey is going to do anything, he's going to get a member of the 2017 Rockets on that team. but they bring back Kelly Oubre on a low number, and he was fantastic for them last year. One of the best minimum signings in recent memory. Was sensational for them. You bring back Tyrese Maxey after the cap space is spent on Paul George. You re-up him on the rookie scale max. So, that fit with George there. And, of course, the cops are coming for me because I'm about to start praising Philly in New York. But that fit of George between Embiid and Maxey, like, it is a guy who can play on or off the ball, who's an elite three-point shooter off the catch, but who can also make off the pull. He's a complimentary pick and roll creator, but who doesn't have to have the ball in his hands to succeed. We saw that in the iterations that he was playing in LA, where when he was on the ball more often, he was putting up elite numbers there. Then they bring in James Harden. He has to completely change his game. The assist numbers go down, but the shooting efficiency remains. I think the ecosystem there of you've got a number one ball handler, you've got a number one scorer and shot creator, and Paul George sort of fits into the gaps in the middle. He becomes essentially like you pay him a max salary to be the best role player in the NBA. And whether he can be that consistently at 34 years old, whether he's going to be able to remain healthy, obviously the major question always every year is whether Embiid's going to be able to remain healthy and how they fit the rest of the pieces around them. But I think it is an absolutely perfect on-court fit there, especially with what George, he's not, an all-defensive wing at the same level that he used to be, but he's still a heck of a wing defender that can scale up or scale down in terms of the way he guards. And it's really like the gamble that Daryl Morey made when he made the Harden deal. It's so funny to think about how far away it feels, but how close we are in the calendar to Daryl Morey is a liar and James Harden going to China and telling Chinese children he'll never play for Daryl Morey again. So then Daryl Morey trades Harden to the Clippers, gets two unprotected picks, or gets an unprotected pick and a top three protected pick swap back for it, and then gets Paul George out of the Clippers. So I don't know if Daryl Morey had this planned when James Harden took the airwaves with that, but it's a heck of a dismount, and it puts Philly in really, really good position to remain in that that situation atop the East.
Get to the Grizzlies in one sec. Again, talking to Dan Devine. The podcast is No Cap Room. He writes about the NBA for Yahoo. Paul George going east, that's good. KCP going east, that's good. DeJounte Murray coming west, not necessarily good from the Grizzlies' perspective. They've needed a point guard. They have one. What do you think? They don't have a center, but they do have a point guard.
Yeah, and also, shout out to Grizzlies legend Jonas Valanciunas getting 3 years and 30 in Washington. He'll be the booster rockets there for Alex Saar, the bodyguard and the protector there as they figure out what they want to do moving forward. I feel like there's more shoes to drop in New Orleans. I don't dislike the talent play of going and, you know, being able to turn Larry Nance Jr. and Dyson Daniels and some pick equity into DeJounte Murray. I think the getting another sort of shot creating guard who can score and who, you know, he hasn't been as good defensively as his reputation was from his time in San Antonio the last couple of years, but maybe, you know, at least conceptually a better point of attack player than CJ McCollum, you know, and, you know, some of the other guards that they put out there. But when you think about where those guys get their shots, like, there's a pretty significant overlap in the offensive profile of DeJounte Murray and Brandon Ingram. And so I wonder, like, it feels like there's more coming because I don't know. Yeah, you're absolutely right to point to there's no center. And I don't think they want to play Zion Williamson at center a lot. I think that's like you want to have that option on the menu, but you don't want to build the whole meal out of it. And you know, they're just, it feels like there needs to be a shakeup in terms of, like, CJ McCollum remade his game to be more of a catch and shoot off ball player last year. Brandon Ingram has not done that and seems like kind of doesn't seem like he really wants to, and hard to blame him. He's been like an all-star player and has, you know, been the number one scoring threat on a playoff team playing that way, but I don't know that it fits neatly with Murray and Zion and CJ. It just feels like more is coming there. So the New Orleans right now feels to me like an incomplete, but if they get a healthy Zion on back, that's all, you know, that is the ceiling raiser for them. They were a team that I think for most of last season looked to me like they could be a home court advantage team. Disastrous late season slide, Zion gets hurt in the play-in, and then you go from there. But that's the difference maker, and I think Murray might look really nice next to him.
I guess I assume that Brandon Ingram, they're shopping him, it seems all, but the problem is it's not, who wants to pay him? Like, no one seems to want to pay him. Maybe they want him at some whatever, but nobody wants him and wants to pay him. Is there anyone who has emerged as a likely candidate?
I know there was some reporting this weekend out of California that the Kings were kicking the tires there. But yeah, I think even that, you know, you hear that, you maybe scrunch your face up a little bit, and you're like, I guess. Like, and that's the thing. Like, if you were, like, Brandon Ingram is in that sort of, like, it's like the twilight zone for an NBA player where you're like, you're like a fringe all-star. I've seen you be an all-star. I've seen you play well against good teams. I've seen you play well in like first round playoff games. But if you're my best guy, how far am I going? If you're my second best guy, how far am I going? And I think that's the answers to those questions are like, I don't really know. Then yeah, it's tough to commit $250 million to a guy like that, right? So I think even as the cap goes up and yada yada yada, I think that front offices, ownership groups, fan bases all look at that and they're like, I don't really know. And so then you wind up, I think, honestly, DeJounte Murray's in a similar category. Trae Young is your former backcourt partner in Atlanta. I think there's a lot of people that look at him and are like, yeah, I guess, but like, for like, I don't know. I don't know for sure. And so those players in a system where, like, you know, your stars, your superstars, your all-stars get that top dollar, it becomes really interesting to see how the rest of the league values them, where the markets for them lie, and then, you know, what kind of moves you can make downstream from that. So yeah, Ingram, I think everybody under the sun expects them to at least see what they can get for him and see where, you know, if there's a better fit for him out there. It's just, yeah, but it's not always easy to find it.
All right, on to the Grizzlies. One of your colleagues, I believe, called the draft pick the worst in the history of draft picks ever, or something like that. You were nice enough to stick up for it. What'd you think of the Grizzlies taking Zach Edey?
Well, first thing, I will stand up for my colleague, Kristen Peek. What happens in these situations, if we're looking at how the sausage gets made, is she's on a live stream for like 5 hours, and then during a break, someone hands her a phone and says, stare into this camera and speak for 30 seconds about the Zach Edey pick. And then she sort of has to go like off the cuff.
She got more animated as she went on, too. Like, it really, that pick got worse and worse. No, I totally get it. It's content and whatever else. And I'm sure she didn't actually like a lot. Listen, she wasn't the only one who thought that he was overdrafted at 9. Go ahead, your thoughts.
But she is among the most skeptical people that Edey's you know, lateral quickness, his athleticism defensively is going to play up at the NBA level. I think she is a very significant skeptic of he's going to be able to be on the floor defensively against good teams. And I think that is a take that she is not alone in. She is perhaps more strident in it than many others, but I think it's an understanding.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.